As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined, as always, by the one and only Chateau McGill.
I don't know how to react to that one. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
I was just expecting another Lisa Vandergoots, but
no,
you're on your game today.
The first one I had to do, like, double do it. The double doer.
Double do it. And you tell we're on our third episode.
I told you. If you listen to episode two, by episode three, it's going to get a little weird.
Going to get a little loopy.
Can't help it.
Boys are loopy.
Boys been sitting here for a while. But like we said at the end of both of these episodes that we already recorded, that's the fun thing about this show. It's quick, light, easy, fun to watch. So do you have a preamble for this one?
No.
I feel like we should just dive right in.
I think let's just get in there.
Yeah, let's just get it. Well, actually, let's do this. By episode three, give me your top four. It's impossible to remember everybody, so you can't do a full rank. Give me top four. And then bottom one.
Bottom one?
Bottom one. You can't do bottom two.
Bottom one is Marciano.
Okay.
Yours might be Eric at this point. Top four, I will go Andre, of course. Telly. I like the waiting staff. I'm not going to include the kitchen staff because nobody includes the kitchen staff.
Don't be that guy.
I knew that would get under you. I knew that would get under your skin.
Under me?
Yeah.
That's what you just
said. Power bottom. Anyway.
Episode three, see?
Getting weird. Yeah, I've got Andre, Telly. I'm going to put in Emily. And I want to put Grace in there just because we haven't seen a whole lot from Grace. So I'm actually just going to leave her out. And I'll put Gabriella in there.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I'm going to go, I think the kitchen staff stands alone because they're not getting mixed up yet. I think that we, as we see in this episode, they're starting.
In a nicer way than I did.
Yeah, much nicer. But we do see them start to get involved in the drama a little bit. At least Caroline does. We don't
see. With the croissant?
With the croissant. But we don't see Anthony get into the mix. We get a clip from next week where he's going to get more involved, yeah. It seems like, because Eric is going to be a dick. But my number one is probably Andre as well. I'm going to go two is Emily.
Okay.
Three is Telly. Maybe. I don't know. Actually, I take that back. Three is Grace. I just really like the housekeeping staff.
Yeah.
Like, I like those two a lot. And then four would probably be Gabriella as well. I think that's my rankings right now. I think they are very subject to change. Because I think this show is going to get a lot more tumultuous than we've seen thus far.
Yeah, I don't really see Andre mixing it up to the point that I don't like him anymore. So I think he's going to be a mainstay up there.
He's
the
also
other
the
three.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, the other three I could see getting eliminated.
Yeah, I could see them moving around a lot.
Yeah.
Andre is the number one bachelor in the house. He's the most sought after. Everyone's vibing with
Andre.
He's
the only fucking normal one.
He's the only nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird how that works. You know, you'd be the nice guy and more women approach you.
This just in, nice guys finish first?
Nice guys in first place.
How about that?
Wow. Changing up the narrative. Right. Attaboy, Andre. But let's dive into this episode. We start out, and Hannah's still losing her mind.
Yeah.
Over this Priscilla nonsense that she started. And Andre says what we're all thinking. And it was very funny how it was delivered. He's like, she can't be that insecure. He's like, oh, nope. She is that insecure.
She is.
And that's exactly what it is. And I don't know if that's a product. I would imagine a major factor in that is that she has been fucked around by this dude for 3 years, it sounds like, and it ended up with a cheating thing.
He's probably cheating the whole time.
He definitely would. I mean that she finally caught him or finally was like, this is the last time I'm doing this.
Surprise,
with you.
Surprise. The guy who has a rule named after him for a restaurant because he was sleeping with the staff.
Yeah.
Ends up being the guy who was cheating once.
No.
Twice.
Thrice?
Probably a bunch of times.
Yeah, he definitely was cheating nonstop. So I would imagine that her insecurity stems from there a lot, so I don't want to fault her too much. She does herself no favors in how she treats other people.
Right.
So I'm not like, oh, I feel bad for her. But at the same time, I can see where the insecurities could stem from. But this is where we get to meet Emily for the first time. And I've seen her like in the background, kind of moving around.
She had the confessional in the second episode to start it off.
Oh, she did? Okay. Yeah. My bad. It's confusing because they dropped them in like weirdly. I know. But she does seem just kind of chill and mellow. And she comes from Florida, I guess. Did I talk about this already?
It's Grace that comes from Florida.
Grace. I'm sorry. Yeah. The housekeeping staff. I'm getting it mixed up. Emily has a confessional right here. And I just wrote, Emily seems chill. And that's what we're getting out of this housekeeping staff. We're getting they seem much more mellow and they're just happy to be there. But Hannah keeps going off and she's all pissed off. She's like, if I'm having a meltdown, why am I the drama? Why am I the one that's doing something wrong? And Mark is dismissing my feelings. And this is where I was like, oh, okay, this is where this is all stemming from. This is all Mark's problem or Marciano. For those of you that don't know, I call Marciano Mark. But you can see that that's where this is all pretty much stemming from. But he's not dismissing your feelings. You're getting up in arms about a problem that you started, and now you're mad that it's getting thrown back at you because it was the most confusing scenario ever, and now this is the result of it. So you got to deal with it. You can't then put it on Marciano for not understanding what's going on, even though he's the biggest piece of shit in the world. But Eric... this is a big Eric episode, and we've seen inklings of Eric throughout the first two. He's a fucking weird guy. I don't know what he thinks his job title is, because he's taking it upon himself to insert himself into everything, but not actually doing anything.
Yes.
Is that a good way to sum him up?
That's a good way to do it, yeah.
So Eric says that he needs to correct all of these issues. He's going to take it upon himself to do that. And as the manager, that is actually your job title. You are supposed to keep the staff in check and keep them doing their jobs. Not the way you're doing it, because you're a dick and weird, but that is your job title. Anyway, we get the three probably most mellow in the whole house, Andre, Grace, and Emily. And Grace and Emily, again, are the housekeepers. And Emily, we get to find Grace. Sorry. See, I wrote it down wrong even. Grace is a Florida native, and
she's from North Carolina, but she lives in Florida.
Lives in Florida now, and it was a very relatable story. She's like, you know, I got out here on my own. I was like, fuck, I'm poor.
Yeah.
And I need to get a job. And she pretty much admits, like, I lucked into this job. I'm really excited to be here. I hope this leads to other things. It's the MO of the majority of the staff. They're happy to be there. They want this to turn into something bigger, whether that means reality TV, whether that means opening their own spot, whatever it might be. That's the general consensus, but I love that these three are just kind of calm. Mm-hmm. Like, I need that presence in the house. Like, you're starting to see what the cliques might be. You get the kitchen staff, holds everything down. They seem to be the most just business, right?
Right.
You got Andre, Grace, and Emily. They're pretty mellow. They're just there to work and are normal. And then you get the rest of the crew that's kind of the wild card. Then you get the toxic relationship, which is necessary in any LVP show. So we've got all the building blocks now of how this show is going to move forward, which is nice to know where everybody stands. But we get a scene with Marciano and Hannah, and Hannah's like, I'm not vibing with anybody. Why do you think? You're treating them all like shit. You think they're going to be cool with you? You're starting shit with all of them.
Yeah.
Marciano, and I know exactly what he's doing, and it's so fucking slimy. He's like, I feel the exact same. Dude, leave this poor girl alone. You're just trying to get in her good graces so you can get back in her pants.
Yes.
That's all you're doing right here.
And eventually that's going to happen. He's going to be flirty with somebody, and Hannah's going to fucking lash out, and the whole house is going to be in dismay.
1,000%.
But at least we can hope that this happens in a more public setting, because nobody knows what the hell happened yesterday.
Nope.
Nobody's there were two people there, and I'm sure even they're confused as to what happened. So no, at some point you're going to do this, and we know what your MO is. You don't give a shit about hurting Hannah.
No.
And at some point, it's a 5-week thing. Maybe by week 2 or 3, you're going to be trying to hook up with somebody else.
You know what my call is?
What?
He's going to hook up with a guest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's because I think that the majority of the women on this show, they have, aside from Hannah, have a good head on their shoulders.
Yeah, they do.
No one like Gabriella and Telly and Grace, even like they're all very respectful of each other. And when they're like when Grace is flirting with Andre at the end of this episode, Gabriella kind of removes herself.
I love that. Yeah.
I know that Grace is into her, or I know that Grace is into him. It looks like he might be into her. I'm going to take myself out of this. They're respectful, so there's no way that Marciano is going to hook up with them. Priscilla just watched what happened when she was even remotely near Marciano. So
Hurricane Bree,
who knows?
I don't know.
I just don't think that she's going to want to be involved in any of that.
I think she might do it one hurricane pre, maybe the night goes where the night goes. They're having fun. Shit happens. I could also see her being vindictive a little bit and going after him just to fuck with Hannah.
Yeah.
Which would also be funny.
That would also be funny. So really, it's just Priscilla that it might happen with. I think he's going to hook up the guest.
I do too. And I think it's going to cause World War III in the house, which would be...
Then all of a sudden, the guests aren't having a good time because Hannah's trying to kill one of them.
That would be a great fucking great episode. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But in this scene, she's like, so you're apologizing? It's like, oh, this fucking God. Relationship. And he's like, we got to be rock solid. He's like, but we're not together. He's like, so what? What does that have to do with literally anything? That has to do with everything.
Yeah.
What are you guys? What is this weird toxic relationship we're watching? You're not together. You cheated on her. She's still bending the knee to you, which is crazy. And that just shows you how manipulative this fucking scumbag is.
Yeah.
But this scene was slimy. I didn't like this scene at all. And I don't know where these two stand. I don't know if we're ever going to get an answer. They're definitely going to come back together at some point. I don't think it's going to go well.
Yeah.
I think it's going to cause a lot of
shit. I think the funniest part about their relationship is the first night that they were there, you see Hannah sitting in bed with him while he's blackout drunk. And he says, I love you. And she's like, you don't mean that right now, whatever. We haven't really, they're not showing any signs of a relationship.
No.
They're arguing with each other a shit ton. And they're getting very jealous when there's another guy or another girl even remotely near them. But they haven't kissed once.
They haven't touched.
You don't see an arm around someone.
Well, I guess the one scene when he's blackout drunk the first night, I guess, and she sits in his bed with him for a little bit.
Yeah, but that's the only time that we saw that, and that was when he was blackout drunk.
Yeah.
When he's not like that, you don't see any signs of an actual relationship here. So what the fuck is he talking about when he's talking about being rock solid?
I have no idea.
Making sure that we have each other's backs. It's like, no, it doesn't seem like that's ever going to happen. And there is nothing here.
No.
It's just you guys getting jealous. And honestly, what's the benefit to that? I get it if you guys are actually making out and sleeping together during this 5-week stretch. But if you're not doing that, then what's the point in getting jealous?
I don't know.
You're just getting the worst parts of a relationship.
Literally.
Of a toxic relationship.
Literally.
It's the toxic parts of a toxic relationship.
It's crazy. Too much. It's crazy to watch. But I think it's funny that every time you get Marciano solo in a confessional, he's all about being professional. And I take my shit seriously and blah, blah, blah.
You don't. Sure you do, dude.
You gotta put your words into practice. This is so funny, and I love newbies on reality TV shows because we're watching you.
Yep.
We see everything.
The only time that he's shown anything that indicates that he's professional about this is when he gets mad that there's no bartender there.
That's it.
And it's like, okay, now you're putting the guests first. But everything else that you've done, you've put yourself first.
Yes.
So no, you're not professional. I that cracked me up in the confessional.
Me too. And even in the scene where he, quote unquote, puts the guests first, the way he handles it is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
He yells and screams in a woman's face
mm-hmm.
to the point that she has to push him because he's invading her personal space.
Yep.
We still stand by Telly. Yeah, push that motherfucker. You should have punched him in the jaw.
Yes.
But whatever. We get to the point of this episode. And it is Eric's meeting with the staff. And you can tell right out of the gate, this staff does not respect him.
Not at all.
Because he has given them no reason to. He's been too wishy-washy. He's micromanaging left and right. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He doesn't know whose room is whose. He doesn't know how many events are there that day. He doesn't know the details that you are supposed to know. When we've seen other shows that are either set up like this, across any network, doesn't matter. When there's a show like this, let's go Below Deck, because again, it's the easiest one to compare it to. Whoever's in charge of the boat of the day.
Chief Stew
has it down to the minute.
Yep.
This is what we got today, everybody. This is what we're doing. We need you all firing all cylinders so we don't fuck it up. He doesn't know. It's a big question mark. So he calls this meeting with everybody. He's trying to drop the hammer. Caroline, the sous chef, is like, this is bizarre. Because he comes in, he's like, look, I had a period of observation. I wanted to get to know everybody first. You were part of it. You were drinking with
them.
You can't do this. You have no leg to stand on now because you lost the respect the first night, but whatever. And he goes on to say, we're going to run this like a military operation.
But it's so funny because in your point of observation, you've realized, or maybe a smart person would realize, nobody really cares that much. They're not really taking their jobs that seriously.
Nobody is
thinking about what's going to make good TV and what's going to build their personal brand. How did you not come away from that realizing, okay, yeah, they're just going to kind of do their own thing?
I don't know.
I'm just going to do my role and hope that Lisa doesn't bitch me out because everybody else is fucking up.
How simple is that? Do your job.
Yeah.
Just do your job. Don't do other people's jobs. Keep your staff in check. Do your fucking job. Don't have a weird meeting where you're saying we're going to run this like a military operation. I ran a big business in LA, so this is nothing.
What do you think he ran? Like an F-45? Like Brock?
Yeah, honestly. He might have actually ran Brock's F-45. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. As Lisa walks in, he makes a point to do this and say this one sentence. And he goes, no more fun and games, everybody. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? This is not the vibe. I actually came in here pretty excited with good news.
Yeah.
Which is also not true, because the first thing she says is, the guest noticed attention. I was like, that's not good news.
No.
That's hand up. That's not good news. But the point being, overall, the guests had a good time. So they did perform where they were supposed to. However, there was a lot of shortcomings. Let's clean it up, everybody. Let's get better. You can tell, though, immediately, Eric has a different head about him now. He is a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
With no respect from his constituents.
Yep.
So it's going to be funny to watch it play out, and we do watch it play out, but we get to meet our guests, and it is Harlan, and she is going through her transition to becoming a female, and this is her facial regendering surgery.
Yes.
And I thought this was all really interesting, because I don't know a lot about this process, so it was cool to learn about, and it was also, this is a very educational scene, and I really actually appreciated what they were doing with it, but we get to meet them, and I also love how the French say LGBTQ.
It's way better than how we say it.
L'Egypte-quoi?
Yeah.
That is a beautiful word. Everyone should say L'Egypte-quoi.
Yeah, that's not like a croissant moment or a
no, France that just moment. Sounds yeah. so much better. So I think that we should put that into play in the States. That is, yeah, you're right. That is not a croissant.
Yeah.
No. L'Egypte-quoi sounds.
It sounds much cooler.
Right? It just flows. Yep. It feels good to say. But we get this scene with Caroline and Eric, and I appreciate Caroline stepping up and being like, hey, it's okay to put in rules. This is not the military. All right. We need to treat everybody with respect. This is a business. You are not the head honcho here. LVP is the head honcho. His response is fucking jaw dropping. This dude is an idiot with no respect for female staff.
Yeah, no.
Chef Caroline is a beautiful woman with a heart of gold. Could you be more condescending? Could you be more belittling with one fucking sentence? Oh, bless your heart. That's what that is.
Yep.
It was fucking ridiculous. I was like, you're in charge of these people?
Like, she's trying to give you advice, and you're like, oh, that's sweet. Thank you. No.
It's crazy. And his next sentence is, I don't give a fuck if anybody respects me.
Mm-hmm.
Good, because nobody does.
They don't. And that's the thing, is his observational period, or whatever you want to call it, his takeaway was, they're not going to respect me no matter what I do. You are correct.
Yes.
Because you're an asshole. Not because they don't have respect for people.
No.
It's because they know not to respect you.
Yeah.
You were the type of manager that sat inside, and when Marciano came back in, said, dude, don't take that many shots at the guests. And you were like a little bit cool about it. Like, hey, yeah, they asked you to take a shot. That's fine. Whatever. But don't go over there and have more. And you weren't doing that. Like, you're leading by quote unquote example, or quote, I should probably say quote unquote leading by example. And now you're out there doing the exact same thing. You do not get to sit in this point of judgment on other people when you're doing the same shit.
Exactly.
Just because you're not fighting with anybody else yet doesn't mean that you're better than them, or you're the manager and you need to take your role seriously. If you're not taking your role seriously, they're not going to take you seriously. That's all it is.
Perfectly worded.
Yeah, but
perfectly
worded. To take the stance of, I don't give a fuck if they respect me, I'm their boss. No.
Nope.
They don't see you as a boss. So when you do shit, they're not going to let you do that.
No, and they shouldn't. You shouldn't take orders from this guy. No. He's a fucking disaster. But this is where the croissant starts to burn. And I've been wanting to talk about this moment since episode one. The croissant's burning, and Andre goes to take it out. He goes, oh, do you smell that? Let me grab this thing out. This is Marciano. This is who he is. No, leave it. Leave it. Why?
Turn the oven off. That'll stop it, because when you turn an oven off, it immediately cools down, right?
Help your staff out, dude. Like, she's in another room right now talking to this moron, Eric, to try to figure out how to work for him for your benefit. Take the fucking croissant out. Also, like, his overreaction to it, like, especially as somebody that cooks every day, it's a fucking croissant. You left it in too long. It's not going to burn the house down. If you leave it in the oven and it catches fire, guess what? It's still not going to burn the house down. You'll be fine. Help your staff out. Take it out. Get it outside.
But it's a gas oven.
So what? 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 Like, what the fuck?
Fire, man? And gas, man. It's explosions.
there's fire in the oven already to get the oven hot. Like, what are we talking about? All you need to do is get the croissant out of the goddamn oven and out of the house so you don't smell it out. Like, it's going to make the whole house smell like burnt croissant because you want to prove a point. And he stomps downstairs and dude, hey, dum-dum.
I know.
Fuck you.
I was hoping you were going to say it. Yeah, okay.
Hey, dum-dum.
Hey, dum-dum.
What the... Treat people with respect, man. Like, and the fact that you have this high horse stance with anybody in this house, given your performance the last two episodes as the quote unquote best server from Vegas. If you're the best server, I will not go to Vegas. I will not go because I'm terrified of what the serving staff's going to be like. If you're the example.
Yeah, let's try to find out where he worked and avoid those places.
Please. But Caroline asked him, like, why didn't you just take it out? Why is this a thing now? And then he's like, oh, if you're going to be an asshole, if you're going to be a dick about it, well, I'm going to clap back. He takes it out and puts it on her fucking bed.
Funny move.
It wasn't funny.
It's funny.
How is that funny?
It's just fun.
It's not clever. It's not fun.
It's not clever. It's not anything, but like, I laughed.
Because it's so dumb, you laugh?
It's so dumb. And it's just so stupid.
The funniest part is Hannah, the one that you're supposed to be rock solid with, the one that's supposed to have your back, she's the one that takes it off the bed, and she says, what a joke.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
Marciano's a bitch. Like, yeah. He's just a big bitch, but it's a burnt croissant. Like, shit, again, shit happens. It will not burn the fucking house down, and he blows it way out of proportion, but the guests arrive. There's a bug in the champagne. It's a big deal. You can't, you work in the service industry, Priscilla. There is way grosser things in a kitchen than a bug in a champagne glass. She's like, I'm not touching that bug. I would imagine it's like a gnat.
Take the fucking bug out.
Just take the fucking bug out. I don't know what to do. Take it out. Pour it out. Go get a new one. Just do anything. Don't stand there and like freak out about the bug. Get the bug out. They're pulling up. I'm getting anxiety.
This is somehow it's worse than Marciano dropping the entire tray and getting broken glass all over the place. The two of them between Telly and Priscilla trying to figure out how to get the bug out of a glass was giving me way more anxiety.
Me too. Yeah. And Lisa's like, what are you doing? Like, get it together. It's like,
don't serve that champagne.
Is there a bug? Like, not anymore. It's like, did you stick your finger in it?
Don't serve that shit.
Don't give that to them. This is where you start to get a peek into what Eric is capable of, and by capable I mean incapable of, because Grace is trying to talk to him about the setup, who's staying where, because they got to take the luggage to the room, get the rooms ready, turn down service, all that stuff. He has no idea who's in what room.
Yep.
That seems like the most basic thing a manager should know, where everybody's going to be so you can control the situation. He has no fucking clue. And then the dinner gets set up and he walks out there, takes a peek. He's like, oh, no, this will not do. I know that Lisa Vanderpump, owner of the Chateau Bleu Bleu, wants it this way. I ran a big business in LA. This is nothing. I'm going to change it up. So he changes the whole situation. And this comes into play later as well. But Hannah and Priscilla are still beefing. And I knew you would get a kick out of this. Hannah doesn't like Sagittarius. And of course, Priscilla is a Sagittarius. So they're not vibing, dude.
Sagittarian?
I guess.
Probably.
I wrote SAG, and then I had to remember what
the... Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you know, and you can't... Look, that's... You can't get
now
over
it. Now it makes sense.
You can't get
She's
over
a Sagittarius.
That. There's no mending that bridge.
I should have known.
Yeah, it won't... You know, it's insurmountable at this point. So it is what it
Why
is.
Why even try?
You shouldn't. But we get this reflections dinner, and it was cool to see Steven, who we've gotten tidbits from Steven, especially in this episode. He starts to play a bigger role. Mm-hmm. We find out that he actually interviewed for the manager job, didn't get it. So now he's working for Eric. So there's definitely a chip on his shoulder. And you are under the impression that he's a little snitchy.
Yeah, it's just the way that he does things. Like, he's always lurking in the background, kind of judging what people are doing.
Yeah, what you think?
Yeah, and look, I mean, we find out why he's doing that, because he's watching Eric's every move. I don't think he gives a shit what Marciano is doing. I don't think he cares what anybody else is doing, because you don't see his reactions.
He wants Eric's job.
He wants Eric's job, yeah. And that's all it is. And he says that to his face. I interviewed for your job. I didn't get it, but now I get to watch you do this.
Fail.
I've come to terms with, I know that in the first episode, if you guys were listening, I said that I want Lisa to fire somebody, just fire somebody and get rid of him. Steele is, I think, in the court of firing Eric. I think it would be way funnier if she demotes Eric and promotes Steven.
Ooh, I love that.
Demote Eric to Steven's role and then put Steven as the manager.
I like that.
That would be so much better because that's going to cause so much chaos.
Plus, I think Steven would do a good job. Like, that's
I think he would take it seriously, at least.
But Steven is sharing his thoughts on this reflections dinner, and he is very moved by the whole thing. It's a very touching dinner, especially given the circumstances of it and this transitional surgery that Harlan is having. And he shares with the audience that he was one of the first openly gay men in the Air Force, which is awesome. That's like a really cool thing to hear. I'm sure that's not an easy thing by any means. So hats off to him for sharing that. And it's also cool to hear him talk about the dinner. And, like, you know, it's really refreshing and beautiful to see, like, everyone at this dinner is their authentic self. They're allowed to be who they are without the judgment of other people in the outside world. And you kind of see how everyone's vibing at the table. It does seem like a very freeing experience. Everyone's comfortable. It was nice. It was really cool to see it from Steven's perspective, to get a glimpse into what he felt about the whole thing. So I like that a lot. And Priscilla, who's out serving, is vibing with the whole table. She's getting along with everybody. And I figured it out, man. It has nothing to, I don't even know if it has anything to do with Marciano. Hannah's jealous of Priscilla.
Priscilla.
Like, when she's
jealous of Hurricane Pri.
You're jealous of the hurricane, because the hurricane's standing there. She's getting along with everybody. And she's like, she just talks all the time. She just doesn't stop talking. Bop, bop, bop. It's like, no, she's doing her. This is what it means to make sure that they have a good time without being an idiot.
Yes.
Take a note.
If the guests are talking to you and giving you compliments and wanting you to be around, you do that.
Yeah.
It's not, hey, I'm just going to steal this shot real quick and I'm just going to start ripping shots so I can hang out with you guys.
Is this your drink? Not anymore.
Yeah.
No, take a note. Priscilla's doing her job well. And fuck me, here comes Eric. And Eric goes, I find it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yeah.
It's like, no. It's not. It's really not, because
that doesn't apply to anything. I don't know why that's even a phrase.
I don't either. It's not. Just do, especially if you're an employee.
Yeah.
Do your goddamn job. But no, he's twisting LVP's vision and he's just doing the most in every single situation without doing anything.
Uh-huh.
Once again, like, he's all talk. He tries to do everybody else's job. He's mixing up this event that they're supposed to be having this evening. And Steven speaks up because, for better or worse, Steven is the event coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to putting these events on, he is in charge. He's supposed to do that. Or at the very least, Eric, get him involved.
Eric,
that's how you're a manager. You bring your people in. You don't try to do their jobs for them. That's not the role of a manager. And I feel like I have to keep repeating this because Eric doesn't fucking know how to do his job. But this is Eric's MO, apparently. When shit doesn't go his way or people don't fall in line immediately, he goes, I get shit done. You just need to step up. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You're walking around mad because nobody respects you and you're framing it as they're not doing their job. The night's ready to go. You're trying to fuck it up and do something differently. They're not doing what you want to do, but you are not doing your job. It's fucking nuts. And Eric thinks that Steven's jealous because everybody respects me. Not you, but everybody else does. My man, you have said openly that they don't and that you don't give a fuck. So now, what has changed throughout this day where you think that you have earned their respect? Can you point to anything that this man has done that would garner respect from his staff?
No, he has less respect now than he did before that weird team meeting.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's just so funny to me to watch him go through that and be delusional, because he goes through a cycle of, I don't care what they think about me, to, oh, they definitely respect me and they're going to do what I want to do. No.
Mm-mm.
How did you get there?
I don't know.
What happens? You're just changing all the plans and moving things around, and you've been told before, stop changing the fucking plans.
Please.
Please, for the love of God. You don't know better than LVP, so stop acting like you're going to do that. And he twists it and spins it into this delusional idea of, well, she hired me because I'm a go-getter. I'm a curator of a good time.
No, she's the curator.
Yes, she's the curator. She already thought all this through. Everything is already laid out. It's the easiest job in the world. Stop making it more difficult.
You don't even have to do.
You do nothing.
You ask your staff to perform their duties and make sure they get it done.
And then when that happens, you go outside and you look at the guests and you say, everybody having a good time?
Do you need anything?
Do you need anything? Okay. Can I make this a little bit better for you? It is by far, honestly, I think he has the easier job than all the servers, than the kitchen staff for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Than the fucking event coordinators that are below you. You are at the top. And you have somehow the easiest job possible because LVP has made it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Stop making it more difficult.
He won't. He won't. And we see that happen because the next morning, Eric goes into like the staff quarters and like lays in bed with,
fucking weird.
It was bizarre because you're not tight with anybody. Nobody likes you.
And he goes into it under the guise of, well, I'm going to make sure that like everybody knows today that they can respect me and that I'm a part of this. And I'm going to make sure that everybody's having a good day.
So let me go lay in
bed. So let me go lay on top of two of the girls that are laying in bed.
That makes sense.
You're a fucking weirdo.
You're a creep at that point. And Steven, very professionally, respectfully asks, hey, can I just be brought into the events? Because last night got a little bit
heated. Soon as it crosses into the event coordinator, let me in on that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. And I feel like that was the most professional way to do that. And Eric patronizes him.
100%.
1,000% comes over. Yeah, dude, you're going to do great today. Give me a fist bump. Like, no. No one wants to fucking bump your fist. Like, he's walking. Bump it.
Yeah, bump it.
Bump it. Come on, bump it. No. Nobody. Give me a bump. Nobody wants to fucking bump your fist. And then he caps it off with the funniest thing ever. You're the manager of everything. You need to know what's going on. What do we have? Like, four events today? Like, we're gonna do everything. You're going to kill it, man. There's two events today.
Two events, dickhead.
Oh, okay. All right, whatever. Either way, no matter how many events we have, we're going to kill it. And then leaves the room. Like, I want to see, I wish they left a camera in there for a little bit longer, like 5-10 minutes, to see everybody else's reaction. Like, fuck that guy, right?
See the girls in bed just kind of go hand to the head.
Hand to the head.
Like, Jesus.
I want to hear what Steven has. Steven's just like, what the fuck's going on? I want them to just rip him in the room right there. And I bet they did.
I'm sure they did. I do too. But it makes more sense on why Steven is acting the way he is. I cannot imagine interviewing for a job and then having to work for this guy that got the job.
It's like, I wonder who got the job. Probably a really good manager.
No, the dumbest dude from LA.
Yeah. And like, to an extent, there is a possibility that LVP is not punishing Steven, but not giving him the manager role because he was fired from a Vanderpump establishment for being a little snarky.
Perhaps.
So yeah, maybe I don't want him to be my manager because he's going to be snarky. Lo and behold, you hired a manager who's going to go against everything you've already set up.
Eric. But we get that immediately. Eric walks outside and look, you're at a chateau in southern France. There are very few places on that property that people don't want to sit and have breakfast. Whether it's on a gravel road, whether it's on the grass, pretty much anywhere you're at.
Yeah.
They're going to vibe with it.
It's so funny, though, because his idea was, of course, they're going to want to have breakfast under a big, beautiful pine tree, right? They're having lunch under a big, beautiful pine tree.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about it, they didn't get to experience two different places.
Nope.
They have to sit down at the same spot that they sat down for breakfast for their lunch. Did you think it through?
No.
No. You thought about breakfast and didn't think about the second event. There are two events today. Which actually, I think there's three.
But I don't think that you clarify.
So everybody's wrong.
No, I think that breakfast is breakfast. I don't think breakfast is an event.
Is it an event?
I think lunch, the lilac lunch, counts as an event.
Look, you could argue that breakfast is the most important event of the day.
Don't do that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm talking to a guy who doesn't eat breakfast.
Yeah, I don't. Muscle milk and coffee, baby. But
And Bubbly Burst.
That's true. I love Bubbly Burst in the morning. That sounds like an ad. It's really not. I really do love Bubbly Burst in the morning. The bubbles wake me up. It's like, boo.
Okay.
Ooh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Bursting with flavor.
Bursting with.
This is an ad now.
We do love Bubbly Burst. But Gab, I wrote down Gab. I keep short everybody's name. Gabriella comes out and says to him, hey, this doesn't work, dude. Like, I have to set up a big lunch. Like, that's the event. And that's the difference. Like, the one is breakfast tables and breakfast. An event implies I need to set things up. This is the locale that we're doing it in today. You can't do this because I need time to set up. He's like, what time? Again, you should know, Eric, You should know what time this is happening. You shouldn't have to ask her. Yep. But regardless, what time's that at? She's like, one. He's like, it's 10. We're fine.
Plenty of time.
High five. Bump it.
God, dude.
Fuck off. But he keeps overmanaging and keeps micromanaging. But we get a scene with LVP and Harlan. And again, I thought this was a really cool scene. You get to learn more about her journey. And just, I feel like this is a topic that not a lot of people are educated on. And seeing stuff like this humanizes it. It allows you to understand the plight of people that are going through this transition. And she just talks about how her entire life, she never felt like she was herself. And the premise of being a man for the rest of her life just did not make sense to her.
Yeah.
And her biggest thing was, you know, I was upset that I didn't come out sooner. I regret pushing that voice down for so long. But in this moment, she looks around and she's surrounded by friends. Lisa is obviously a huge ally to the Les Québécois community. And it is a really cool, touching scene. And I think that for people watching, it's very educational, once again, to just see like, okay, this is what it means. This is somebody that has not been comfortable in their own skin for their entire life. And you get to watch this beautiful thing where she gets to feel more comfortable in that. So I actually really appreciated this scene. But we get to the lilac.
As we do for every LVP sit-down scene.
They're great.
They are great. They're built into the episode. This is exactly what she wants to do. And I love it.
I do too.
Because I obviously this one's a little bit different than her telling another guy how to propose to a woman.
Correct.
This is just allowing somebody to tell their story and talk about it. And I thought that her questions were a little thought-provoking.
They were.
They allowed Harlan to talk a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And though I think we're going to get this every party. We're going to have LVP sit down with whoever's party it is. And we're just going to give them a little space to talk. Again, I do want more confessionals, much like we get the comment cards.
Wait, the truth booth.
Give us a truth booth because they teased it a little bit. And we got a little bit with Harlan where she sat down and talked about like what she's going through in her journey and what it means to her in her own confessional. That's great. I want the confessional for, Marciana's a fucking dickhead.
Me too.
Screw this dude. Why is he even here? I want more of that. So if they could build that in and try to branch out a little bit, I'm in.
Season two, maybe.
Season two, yeah.
Season two. That's a great idea. The truth booth needs to be in every fucking reality show, man. But we get the lilac lunch. And once again, Eric is changing shit. Like, you've already done this once.
Yep.
No, sorry, twice. This is the third event that you are now changing. It makes no fucking sense. Why fix it if it's not broken?
Yep.
Like, you don't have to do this.
He's broken.
He is broken. But it's laid out for you on a fucking sheet of paper. And the overconfidence is bizarre. And thank God Lisa shows up. She's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry, Lisa. I thought I could come in and just thought it'd be a better idea. She's like, no. Because now, like you said, all of the events are taking place here now. Everything's taking place in the same exact spot. His big excuse is my inner curator came out and I took it too far. And she's like, yeah, no shit. I'm the curator. You are the manager. My job, curate.
Yep.
Your job, make sure it gets done. And I kind of wish that this was more of like LVP just like firm putting her foot down. Like, look, asshole, this is my thing. You need to fall in line.
I mean, I feel like she did do that.
She did say
she's like, I own so many fucking other businesses. I can't be here all the time, but I'm obviously going to keep an eye on the certain things that I did curate and make sure that they get done. I thought I hired somebody that's going to do that, and I didn't. So that's where I'm coming from with the maybe demote him.
Was that a confessional, though, or did he say
I think that was, she did a little bit of both.
I think she handled it well. I just more meant it would be fun to see her just be like, look, bitch, you're going to do what I tell you.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be fired.
Yep.
That would be fun to see. But just to watch him squirm a little bit. And
I think he would squirm, though.
I don't know.
Like, she's just jealous of my curating skills.
Yeah, I'm just a better curator. I worked at a big business in LA. I need to know what this fucking business is. It's going to
do some research, see what I can dig up.
But the last question she asks is, where's the ball tonight? And he's like, lawn. What? Lawn. What? Ballroom. Oh, the ball. Right. Fuck. Sorry.
The lawn room.
The lawn room. And then, my God, you can't write this shit. LVP's walking by a room, and we get Eric sitting down, talking, don't do this ever again. You can't do this ever again, Eric. Come on, man. Like, you gotta be better.
Did you see the scene at the end, after the credits?
No.
Oh, I let it keep rolling.
What was it?
He was on the phone with no one.
Stop it.
Talking, and she walks over, and she goes, who are you on the phone with? And he goes, one of the guests. She goes, what are you fucking talking about? Okay, can I have the phone? Nobody's on the phone.
Stop it.
Then he walks away and she was talking to, I forget who she was talking to, somebody in the kitchen staff maybe, or maybe it was Emily, I don't remember. but it doesn't matter. She just goes, have you ever seen Eric just sitting around talking to himself? And the girl goes, yeah, I've seen him do it a couple different times. What the fuck's he doing? He needs to stop with his imaginary friend. I don't know what the hell's going on. And it flashes to him in the mirror talking to himself while combing his hair, which, by the way, he's using a brush to like comb his hair, which makes no sense and whatever. And he's sitting there combing his hair, talking to him. And he goes, you look so good. You're going to have such a great day today. He's fucking crazy. He is like loony bin.
Dude, he's fucking wild. Yeah. But she comes in there and asks him, like, what are you doing? He's like, I do this a lot, man. Like, I don't know. I just like to do this a lot. So I just talking to myself, keep myself in line, Lise. Don't worry about it, man. But he blames Steven for telling Lisa. It's like, no, dude, no one has to tattle on you. You have moved multiple events. No one needs to tell on you because it doesn't make any sense.
You've already confirmed that Lisa's watching the cameras,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, bro. Like, it has nothing to do with Steven. But now this is what Eric's MO is. He gets all pissed off because of his own shortcomings and takes it out on his staff. So now he beelines for Steven because he thinks that he threw him under the bus, which is ridiculous. He's like, I'm not doing your job. I'm not doing. He's like stomping around, slamming umbrellas into tables. And she's like, I'm not doing your job. He's like, you haven't asked anybody to do this. Nope. And also, I think they're doing their job. Now you're out here micromanaging because you just got called out. Yep. And you're that like little teeny tiny manager man that when you get challenged, now you got to take it out on the people that are beneath you, except it doesn't work because none of them actually respect you. So now you're just yelling and throwing a tantrum like a child because you're a crazy person.
Correct.
But he goes into the kitchen and he's still yelling at Steven, and LVP's sitting right there. And I can't, like, I just need to know. I wish we had a confessional of her being brutally honest of like analyzing the situation with Eric. Like, what have I gotten myself into? Who is this man?
I think she's probably secretly very happy.
Oh, for sure.
It's good TV.
For sure. I can't stop watching. Yeah. When Eric comes on, I'm like, what's he going to do next? We find out that Gabriella is vibing with Andre a little bit. They need to go pick up a cake for the evening, and she invites Andre. She said, I need a big, strong man in the car, and they're driving through the French countryside, and she said, just relax a little bit. And she's like, you know, I really like Andre. He's a nice guy. He's very handsome. Cut to Andre. Not really my type, but I'm feeling it a little bit. She's feeling it a little bit. We'll see what happens. I thought, you know, brutally honest, but we get to a very, very touching scene. It was a sad scene, but also a touching scene, and actually a probably the only good moment for Hannah that I've seen on this show. But Grace is doing her makeup. Everyone's getting dolled up for the night. It's a big, big night for the ceremony and all that. And everyone's putting on makeup, and Grace shares with everybody or in the audience in her confessional, you know, I've never worn makeup. My mom never showed me how to put on makeup. Like, I'm not comfortable doing that. And all these women are doing their makeup and they look beautiful, and I just feel kind of out of place. And she gets very emotional about it and starts crying. And I'm glad that Caroline was there with her when this started happening, because she's one of the normal ones. So she gives her a hug and says, like, hey, what's up? Like, oh, don't cry. And just the scene of, you know, she finally takes a deep breath. She's starting to calm down a little bit. They take her upstairs to kind of fix her makeup. She looks great, by the way. Makeup's well done. She did it by herself, but they help her out. And it's this really touching scene of the two women supporting her, helping her put her makeup on. She's kind of crying and laughing. She's starting to get up over it. And I don't know. There was something about that that I was like, it was really touching to see them.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Just girls supporting girls.
Yeah, it was a cool scene, I thought. It was the only redeemable moment that Hannah has had in three episodes, which is hard to do, honestly. But we get the event prep for the night, and Steven is already doubting Eric. And of course, like, how, after the conversation you've had, do you come into the situation and go, somebody's got to switch it up? Somebody's got to switch it up. No, that is not what she said. She did not challenge you. She told you what to do. Just do it.
So goddamn funny.
It's insane. It's crazy. It is one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yeah.
But we get to the rebirth party, as it's called, and Harlan walks in. She looks beautiful. And LVP gives this big speech. It's very touching. She gives her a crown, and we get to dinner service. Once again, Eric micromanaging while doing nothing. I'm doing all their jobs. What have you done?
Yeah.
You're stomping around.
Telling people how to serve? Telling people how to hold a plate?
They know.
Do you know how to hold a plate?
He doesn't. He probably doesn't know how to hold a fork.
No. But you start off with the meeting in the morning. Everybody fucking hates you after that.
Yep.
You go to the next day. You're laying in bed with them. Everybody fucking despises you. You're changing everything. LVP's pissed off of you. By the end of the day, people are fed up with him. Yeah. And I know we saw scenes from next week, and it looks like he's just guzzling because at this point,
he goes off the
staff is allowed to drink. He goes off the rails and everybody hates you. That's going to be a recipe for chaos. And I'm going to love that next episode. And I'm really excited to talk about that when you get back from Italy.
I can't wait to talk about that. I want to see how it all plays out because the pull that he took from that bottle, that was like a 10 second plus pull.
Yeah.
And they could have edited it to make it look longer. But by the distance that the bottle got from his mouth, I'm like, no, that's a big drink.
Yeah.
And we get the scene from next week. He's doing a strip tease for everybody. I think we might have seen this man break, and I think it's going to be a crazy fucking episode.
I wonder if during confessionals, he doesn't even care if there's a camera there. He's just talking to himself anyway.
Oh my God. I need a hidden confessional camera just in his room. Just
put one like right above the mirror because he talks to himself in the mirror.
I know it's probably a privacy violation, but like,
Not on this show. There's no privacy violations.
They probably signed their life away. I need more.
Yep.
And that's what's crazy. He's fucking insane, but I want more Eric until Steven takes his job, hopefully.
Well, we'll have to see how that plays out. But for now, we've got a little bit of some questions here. And I know a lot of these questions are going to be, is this worth watching? It is.
Yeah, it is. 100%.
It is. Throw it on because there's enough here that it'll keep you entertained for a little while.
It's also just an easy show to watch.
Yeah. So I'm going to call out a couple of people who pretty much just asked that. It's Sin, Sharnik1, and Steck33. Is this worth watching or getting Hulu? Yeah, I think it is. Honestly, it's something a little bit different. And if you liked Below Deck, you're going to like the structure of the show. Again, the people on Below Deck take their job seriously. These people don't. These people are nuts. And a lot of them are stupid. But it makes for very good TV. And it's fun to watch. And if you like LVP, she's at her best.
This is peak LVP.
This is going to be a really good
doing time. The absolute most, and it's working.
Yeah. And Daria _PNG, how scripted do you guys think this show is? I don't think it's scripted at all.
LVP scenes are?
The LVP scenes are absolutely scripted. She writes down her little speeches and everything that's going on, which is fine. That's what you expect from the showrunner. The rest of them, I think it was just controlled, not even really controlled, but controlled chaos.
I think that
throw them out there.
Yeah, there's scenes that are played up. I think there's people doing extra, if you will.
Yeah.
Like Marciano and Hannah are definitely blowing things out of proportion intentionally. Scripted, though? No. No, this is, as Shooter said to all those people that asked, 100% worth watching, very easy to watch, entertaining, light. It's Below Deck on land.
Yeah, no, I'm fully
with people that don't take it seriously.
And one question that has nothing to do with the show, but I still think that we want to talk about it. Alejandra Deeks said, Caitlin Clark opinion. Love it. I think that the women's tournament has been more entertaining than the men's tournament.
100%.
Which is, I love March Madness in general, so it's great. But I watched, that game the other night with LSU was the highest rated game across all sports aside from going into college, aside from like Georgia, Alabama and the SEC championship, and obviously the college football playoff. For the fact that a women's basketball game is overtaking all of like the men's sports.
It's awesome.
It's more watched than any of the men's games during all of that. And it was entertainment fully through. I love Caitlin Clark. And I think tonight, which obviously you guys are listening to this next week, but I think tonight's game against UConn is going to be really good too.
Yeah. And I thought watching her and Angel Reese square off against each other was awesome. It was just a really...
Sucks that Angel Reese got hurt.
It does.
And then she got fouled out. But if she didn't hurt her ankle, I think it would have been a better game. Still, I think that Iowa got their redemption from last year, and I love it.
Yeah, and I think that for not only women's basketball, but women's sports in general, I think they did so much in one season for the sport and just for women's sports overall. So, yeah, it was a really cool season to watch. And did you see that Ice Cube offered her $5 million to join the 3-on-3 league?
Yeah.
And I would imagine she's going to make a lot more in the WNBA plus endorsements. But
well, just the endorsements. She won't make it from the NBA, or WNBA, though.
Well, I wonder which route she's going to take.
Not $5 million.
Do you think she's going to play? Do you think she'll go to Big Three?
She can do the Big Three.
Can you do both?
I think you can do both. Yeah. Oh,
maybe she'll do both.
I'm sure you can do both because the Big Three goes over the summer. WNBA season
do
is a little
both.
Wonky. But yeah,
we need more Caitlin Clark content.
Yeah, absolutely.
Raining fully threes from half court. It's fucking awesome.
Also, like, chances of, I know, like, you're going pro, so you don't really want to get hurt, But chances of getting hurt in the big three are very slim because all she's going to do is just pull up from half court, and that's all I really want to say.
Yeah, you need two people rebounding, yep. Caitlin Clark shooting a 50-yard. 50-yarder.
50-yarder. Steele doesn't watch a lot of basketball, so don't.
Touchdowns, baby. Touchdowns.
But yeah, that's all I got. You got anything else?
Buonanotte.
Okay. See you in Italy, pal.
Bienvenido.
Wait. Yep. Nope.
No.
Nope.
Bienvenuti.
There we go.
There we go. I butchered it. Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.